Welcome to the Marian Message, presented by the Mosaic of Marian podcast. Each week, we'll hear God's Word explored by Dr. Henry M. Meadows, Jr. as he preaches from the pulpit of Marian Baptist Church in Chatham, Virginia. We pray that this message will be a blessing and further your walk with God. Let's join him now.
When I was growing up, my dad had an unmistakable voice, especially when he was talking to me. It was a voice that I could pick out over anybody and at any time. So I think about that voice. He's been gone now just over 4 years now, and I still can remember that voice. And if he were to show up today and speak where I couldn't hear him, I would know it was my daddy speaking to me. Do you know about the voice of God? So we take off to Brazil, our team, and we get there, and we land on Monday, and then on Tuesday we go to this place called Iguazu Falls. Being honest, I wasn't really impressed to go. I'm just not the touristy kind of guy, you know. But everybody's going, so we go, and I'm thinking, okay, a waterfall, whoop-de-doo-dah. Seriously, that was my fault. But we get there, and we have to wait in line to get a ticket, and then we get on this double-decker bus, which was pretty cool. I like that part, you know, up top of that double-decker bus and the wind blowing through my hair. And we drove forever and ever. I'm like, this must be like a big deal. And then we got off the bus, and you're at this place, and we're trying to decide. There's three ways you can walk through this thing. It can be the easy route, the hard route, or the medium route, which they all look the same. I did not see any of those easy, medium, or whatever. It was just the hard route. But you come around this curve, and there it is. Over 1 mile long. Over 200 individual waterfalls. I'm just going to say this, Niagara Falls, that's like a drop to this fall. And you think you've seen it all, and when we first go down, I'm like, that is amazing. And then I'm like, no, we got to walk this way. And so you walk around this bend, and you're like, oh my goodness, that's even more amazing. And you walk farther, holy moly, that's even more amazing. And so I'm walking down this path with my buddy Willie, and we just begin to have conversations. And he looks at me, he says, isn't there a verse in Scripture? Because as you're there, the sound is almost deafening at times. And then you come around this last bend. After you've been walking for about a mile, you come around this last bend, and there will take your breath away. Simply amazing, God's creation. And so I looked at my buddy Willie, and I said this in Revelation chapter 1, if you can turn there real quick. This is sort of our jumping off point, topical sermon today. And I read and I remembered verse 15, and so I'm Googling it on my phone real quick. His feet are like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace, and here it is. And his voice was like the roar of many waters. I don't know exactly what John was hearing and how the voice was, but it so overwhelmed John, the only thing he could think was it sounded like that. And so as I'm walking there, I'm thinking about everything that God has said in his word to us. And I thought about Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, where in days gone past, God has spoken to us through his prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken through his son, Jesus Christ. I think about 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that all scripture is God-breathed. And it's sort of this sense of, and I've entitled this, a voice of majesty. But I think in the church today, we've made him just another voice in a cluttered world. And it's really hard to pick out what is his voice and what is someone else's voice, because we want to nitpick this and nitpick that, or we want to hear this voice a little clearer. So we begin to drown out this voice of majesty. So as I was walking along, and then you can walk out when you get to that last point, and you can walk out in the middle of the falls almost, and you're just almost completely surrounded, and you get soaking wet because there's so much mist and so much spray that you're out there, and you're just going, and I'm just standing there at one point just like this going, "Oh God, speak." And I promise you he did. I'd planned on preaching today on the fourth core principle of Marian, but as I stood out there on that walkway out there and just listened for a moment, God said, "I want you to talk to them about my voice that seems nobody hears anymore. I want you to talk to them, Hank, about my voice that nobody cares about, that they just sort of file away as just another voice when my voice is so different." So today, this sermon probably won't be long, but I want to give you some absolute truth about the voice of majesty. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, because first, his voice is the voice of authority. In the beginning, when there was absolutely nothing, I'm not going to deal with those first few words. I dealt with them about a month ago. You can go back on YouTube or Facebook and you can find my sermon about Genesis 1 and about God created. That means ex nihilo, out of nothing, the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. But what I want to get to is this voice of authority. Can you imagine it? Complete darkness. And the voice of authority speaks. The Bible puts it this way, "And God said." That word "said" there, it literally means this. It means to say. We can figure that much out. But here's what the major definition of this word is: to command. So what God did was he didn't just speak light into being. He commanded light to come into being. He said, "Light be," and light, whatever light is, because we don't exactly know. We just know how to make light. We can't describe it. Yes, we know it's the absence of darkness, but it's so much more than that. It is a creation of God that he commanded to shine out in the darkness. I don't want to chase this rabbit, but there are people that go, "Well, 7 days of creation can't, 6 days of creation can't really be true, because, you know, the plants and animals were made this way, and the sun and the moon and the stars were made the day after." By the way, there was light already. God had spoke it on day one. He speaks with the voice of authority. He spoke light into being, and then I have them all underlined, and in verse 6, "And God said," and in verse 9, "And God said," in verse 11, "And God said," in verse 14, "And God said," and then you go over to verse 20, "And God said," in 24, "And God said," in 26, "And God said," and then verse 21, "And God said," and every one of those has the same definition, that God commanded, and it had no choice but the answer, the one of authority. One old preacher put it this way, and I love this definition. You guys look at it right here real quick with me. It says this: "God stepped out from behind the curtain of nowhere, stood on the platform of nothing, and spoke the world into existence." Wow. What a quote. And he did it ex nihilo. Out of nothing he spoke. Because his word has authority. I could take you throughout the Old Testament of times when he would speak and he would raise up judges and he would empower them, and he would throw this one down. He would make the sun stand still because God told it to stand still. And he did all these other things, all because God has the voice of authority. Today, we want to give authority to anybody but God. We want to listen to the world and let the world tell us what's good and what's right. We want to let the world tell us what we should wear or how we should think. We want a world to tell us what we should drink or what we should eat or what we should do. We let the world tell us how we should live. When God has commanded us with authority, He opens the ears of the deaf and the dumb. So this mission trip was a little bit different. Projecta Vida did a whole lot more of what we were doing. But last couple of days, Pastor Rick and I, Brother Rick and I, we had sort of had enough of just sitting around. We did what me and him do. Miss Pat, sorry, but we wandered off. Mona and others say, well, we just saw you and Rick just sort of going on the road by yourself. So we went up there, and he and I were trying to be really knowledgeable and powerful ourselves. And we go to these houses. We're in Paraguay at the time. And one of us speaks about as much Spanish as the other one. Together, we got half of a sentence. He would say a little bit, and then I would say a little bit. And the person we were trying to talk to would look at us like, yeah, I got nothing. So I finally said, after we'd visited four or five, I said, let's go back and actually find someone who speaks the language. Let's give that a try. He said, sounds like a plan to me. So we go back. By the way, it was 104 that day. I know for some of you veterans, I know you Army guys and Marine guys, that's nothing because y'all been out there, you know, in 130 degree heat. Well, for this old redneck, 104 is hot. With a heat index of 122. It was hot. Y'all all right? Did I go sit on a van for about 30, 45 minutes in the AC? Amen, Jesus. Yes, I did. Not ashamed of it one bit. So we rehydrate, and then we go back out, and we have this couple with us. And so we walk up to this house where this couple is drinking some tea. Guys, we got a little gift for you. And our translator begins to speak in Portuguese, and they stop her. And in Spanish, who this lady speaks Portuguese and Spanish and English. Yeah, that's impressive. They tell her they no habla Portuguese. No habla inglés. So she begins to share, and Rick says, can I tell you a story? And he begins to share the gospel with them in Spanish. And then a little bit later, this lady, she's translating, and they've come to know Jesus. They make a profession of faith. Amen. But our translator gets so excited, she switches over to Portuguese. And then she looks very ashamed. And I mean, these guys, I mean, she was very ashamed. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I know you don't understand anything I'm saying. And listen to what happened when the voice of authority moves. They said, for once, we understand everything you're saying in Portuguese. The translator was like, and she keeps speaking, and she goes, you're understanding what I'm saying right now? And they're like, both of them, yes. To which, you know, your pastor, this great theologian, I said, but she said you didn't understand Portuguese. So the husband just looks up and he goes, I don't, but I do now. We saw them later on that night. They didn't understand Portuguese later on that night. Now, you can take from that what you want, but here's what I take. At any point, God can do what God wants to do. Oh, I got a better story coming up. Y'all just hold on. So this voice of authority is the first thing. The second thing, when we listen to God, this voice of majesty that sounds like the roar of many waters, He's not only the voice of authority, He's the voice of power. When He speaks, things happen. Flip over to the New Testament. Go to the book of Matthew, to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8. I love this story. My mind was drawn right here. As God, I kid you not, God didn't always give me sermons like this, but He broke this one down. As I'm walking this path and then we're walking back, God is just giving me scriptures, and I can show you my notes on my phone, and I'm just putting it down as quick as I feel like God is giving it to me and the passage to how to use it. Sometimes they come easy, sometimes not so much. But in Matthew chapter 8, there's a story of a centurion. The centurion, verse 5, comes forward and he's appealing. Listen, my servant is lying. He called him Lord, number one. He is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And Jesus, I will come and heal him. Listen to this. But the centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but you say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes, and my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 13, and to the centurion, Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. See, we think power comes in our ability to lift weights. So we always talk about, especially guys, well, I can bench press this, and I can bench press this, and I can hit a ball this far. I can throw one this far. I can do this. I'm a man's man. You want to show real power? Heal somebody with the word. We have our thought about power wrong. We think you got to be a man's man to be powerful. I don't know of anybody in this sanctuary or listening online that can speak and somebody be healed like Jesus could. Not only there, but we could look over also to verse 16. That evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with the word. Let that sink in, with a word. Go over now to Mark chapter 4. He's in a boat. It's one thing to heal somebody. How about this one? Verse 38, but he was in the stern asleep on the cushion. They woke him and said, teacher, don't you care that we're perishing? And he awoke and he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. You ever been to the ocean when a storm passed by? The waters continue to churn and roll, sometimes hours after the storm has passed. But when the one with power speaks, it has to answer. And it's still. One last, and go over to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, here's what we see. You know that we know this story. It's been on every flannel graph that's ever been made. Feeding of the 5,000, which we know that's just the men, probably more like 12,000 to 15,000. In verse 16 of Luke 9, he says, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves and gave to the disciples to set before the crowd, and they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. The voice of authority and power can do things unimaginable. He has the power over everything that we see, everything that we have, the power that he has is unbelievable. And some would argue, preacher, that stuff from years ago, those things don't happen anymore. Oh, really? We're at a village in Argentina. We went to 6 villages. In the last village, each one family sort of dealt with all of them. She deals with all the villages, trying to win them to Jesus. But we got to the last village, and she said, tells Miss Janet, who then tells me, and then we go and talk. And she said, you know, her son said, we were here about a month ago to feed this village. We came with a carton of chocolate milk. Now, they were rednecks because they brought a bowl of biscuits. I'm trying to figure out why they came with biscuits, but I'm just saying they must be rednecks. And so they thought it was just going to feed the villagers, the children of that village. So they pull up and they look at the line that has formed to get chocolate milk and a biscuit. Over 400 people were in line. The son said he looked at his mom and he said these words, "Mama, let's not even get out. We don't have enough. Let's go back home." The mama said, "Son, God told us to do this. There'll be plenty." See, I know some of you already, you're figuring out where this story's going. And you've already said in your minds, can't happen. One little half gallon of chocolate milk and one bowl of biscuits fed over 400 people. That old boy that was telling us with a tear in his eye, he said, "Preacher, I've never seen anything like it." He said, "The more I poured, the less that came out of it. It was never emptying. I poured cup after cup." He said, "As long as they came, there was milk in that carton." He said, "As long as they reached in to grab more biscuits, there was biscuits in that bowl. When the last person came, the milk ran out and the last biscuit was taken." Now, some of you want to sit here today, and I know what you're thinking. That just can't happen. You know the problem with the church in America? We got it too good. We don't ever have to worry about Jesus showing up. I deal with, and I'm not going to call out this youth, and the one that talked to me about this will know who I'm talking to, and it's okay. They came to me last night, and they said, "Preacher, I cannot do it anymore, Pastor Hank." And I said, "Good." And I got this look of, "What are you talking about, good?" I said, "Because God wants you to have to lean on Him. But I'm trying my hardest." I said, "You're probably hearing that phrase that we lie all the time that sounds so biblical. Well, God helps those who helps themselves." Well, and they looked at me and said, "Isn't that right?" No, that's completely wrong. God helps those who cannot help themselves. I said, "And God has got you at a place where He can now use you, and He'll probably do His biggest work of your life, all because you are broken right now." That old boy looked at me, he said, "Preacher, all I knew to do was think about my mama and how many times I've seen her pray and ask God to do stuff. And so I said, if mama believes, I believe." Why don't we see that in the church of America today? Because we don't ever ask for the ridiculous. And when you don't ask for the ridiculous, you'll never see the miraculous. And when you don't ask for the ridiculous, nor will you see the miraculous, you'll never sing the victorious. And as I think about this passage, and I was thinking about our church and how many that I figured would be sitting here and go, "Preacher, that story's made up. It's a lie." Here's all I can say for you. God help your unbelief. God has the voice of authority and the voice of power. And as a result, He has the voice of victory. Can I take you to a place called Mount Calvary? Can I take you to John chapter 19 in your Bibles? This week I was reading something, and this old boy, he had talked to this medical doctor, and they had drawn up a picture of what Jesus' back probably looked like. It's a picture I'll never get out of my mind. Flayed open. Ribs exposed and broken. Out of joint, pulled out. And as I sat there and just looked at that picture, I just wept. Because I knew it was my sin that put him there. But then in my mind, I heard these words that resound throughout the centuries. It is finished. In John 19, right here, we read those words in verse 30. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I was finished." He didn't say, "All is finished." He just said, "It." 5 quick truths about it, and then I'm going to be finished. Number one, it was a shout of triumph. Y'all all right? I don't know how loud he could even say it. After the beating and the torture and all that he had gone through for these 24 some odd hours, I don't know how loud he could have said it, but I believe this. I believe it resounded all through heaven. Tetelestai, paid in full. What you needed and I needed, Jesus paid with his very life on the cross. It's a shout of triumph. It's also telling us that redemption was accomplished. You see, we needed a kinsman redeemer. We need someone that could pay what we could not pay. See, some of us think we've never had that many bad works. Let me tell you something. Everything that you do is bad outside of Jesus, because it's out of a sin nature. We cannot help but have that nature, because when you have a mama that's a sinner and a daddy that's a sinner, you can't help but have a sinner child. And it's proven out time after time after time. I have 2 grandchildren, the 2 oldest grandchildren that can walk and play, and they drive me bonkers at times. Because no matter what one has, the other one wants it. And all they ever shout is, "Mine, mine, mine." And then a scrap ensues. You know why they do that? Because as precious as my grandchildren are, they're sinners at heart. They don't get to go to heaven. Here you go, Bruce. Here's that technicality. They don't get to go to heaven on a technicality that their grandpa was a preacher. They don't get to get to heaven on a technicality that their parents are saved and going to heaven. The only way my grandchildren will ever see heaven is to come by the blood of the Lamb themselves, to repent of their sins and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But he offers it because the redemption price was paid. Sin was atoned for. It was covered by his blood. The righteous requirement of the law was completed. Once and for all, God's wrath was satisfied. You know how we know that? Because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. That's proof that his wrath was satisfied. And the fact that then, some 40 days later, after he rose, he would ascend to heaven. Another proof that God accepted his work on the cross. You may say, "Well, preacher, what does this have to do with anything?" I think about Romans chapter 17, when God, speaking, illustrated by inspired by the Holy Spirit, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Can I ask you this question? Have you ever heard God calling to you? Have you ever heard the voice of majesty drawing and wooing you into a relationship with him? Understanding that you are a sinner, that you have no right to heaven but God. He paid the price. Amen. He made the way. And he says, if you'll but repent and come by the way of the cross, you can also sing the song of victory. I love 1 Corinthians 15, the very end of it. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. As we go into this Easter week, I want to ask you this question. Have you ever heard the voice of majesty.
Thanks for listening to the Marian Message presented by the Mosaic of Marian podcast. If you would like to know more, you can reach us on our Facebook page or on our website, www.marianbcva.com.